This edition of Nation Talk is being brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of Nation Talk. On today's show, we have Claude Chum, the chief of the Anishinaabe Esqui Police Services. Claude, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us here today.
Yep, thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, Claude, could you tell us a little bit about the Anishinaabe Esqui Police Services?
Yeah, no problem. Anishinaabe Esqui Police Service is the biggest First Nation police service in Canada, the second biggest in North America. We look after mainly Anishinaabe Esqui Nation, which is namely the Treaty 3 and Treaty 5 area, and that usually covers almost two-thirds of the province, from Thunder Bay right to the Manitoba border, right to the James Bay border, all up north. Anishinaabe Esqui Nation has 49 First Nations, and Anishinaabe Esqui Police, we police 35 of those First Nations. And out of those 35 First Nations, we have two regional offices. We have a northwest region that looks after the northwest of Ontario, then we have a northeast region that looks after the James Bay Coast communities and the communities around Timmins and Cochrane. And our headquarters, our main office, is in Thunder Bay, Ontario. We have an allotment right now with funding of 150 officers, and including on top of that is approximately 35 civilian staff. So approximately about 180 people altogether we employ with the Anishinaabe Esqui Police Service.
Now, do First Nations peoples, do they have a general idea of what, can you explain for us a little bit how it works with the mainstream police service and your police service?
Well, our police service is generated through a program called the First Nation Policing Program through the federal government. It's a partnership between the province and NAN and the Canada. Canada provides 52% of the funding, and the province provides 48% of the funding. And again, we're only a program. We're not deemed as an essential service. We don't have legislation that backs us up like the mainstream police services do. For example, OPP, who are our support, our main support, they're governed by the Police Services Act, and they have policing standards they got to follow. And Anishinaabe Esqui Police Service, and any other First Nation police service for that matter, we don't have the same standards. We don't have no legislation that governs us. And with that comes with a lot of gray areas. And not only that, we don't have to meet standard. And the Canada and the province know this, so the funding is not adequate. It's just enough for us to provide basically enhanced service of policing to our First Nation people. And the whole program itself from the federal government, the First Nation Policing Policy Program, what it is basically states is that we are only supposed to be an enhancement to the jurisdictional police service. Because of that status, that's where a lot of the problems come, I guess, with funding and resources and stuff like that.
Now tell me, just I want to clarify, you know, we talk about an enhancement service. Your officers carry firearms to work.
Our police officers have the same powers as any police officer in the province of Ontario. We get that same authority under the Police Services Act, which governs all police officers in the province of Ontario. And the commissioner of the OPP grants First Nation policing authority to carry out police officer duties in the province of Ontario. That's the only section in the Police Service Act that really applies to First Nation policing, is us getting our authority as police officers. Ontario right now has 9 standalone police services, Anishinaabe Esqui being the biggest one.
When you say 9 standalone, do you mean 9 First Nation police services?
Yep, there's 9 First Nation police services in the province of Ontario.
So, you know, the reason I ask that question is because 1976, I would think that this would have been seen as a very progressive, you know, smart thing to do to get this rolling along the way. But now we're talking decades later, and it sounds like what we have here is like a two-tier policing system where one gets all the resources and the other one is just being maintained by the very, very limited funding that you're getting.
That's very true. There is everyone, not everyone, I guess, but I can tell you that I, as a chief of police and also our First Nation leaders in NAN see the same thing. Our First Nations don't get the same kind of policing services that are delivered like other municipalities in the province of Ontario.
You were talking about life and death here. And I, you know, I find it really hard as not just a First Nations citizen, but as anyone living in a free and democratic society to think that for a moment you can have that kind of two-tier funding. You know, what makes a First Nations police detachment worthy of less funding, less safety? You know, that's so hard to put my head around.
Yeah, it's very hard and it's very frustrating for me. Our police officers deserve the same officer safety like any other police officer in the province of Ontario. Our First Nation members, you know, deserve the same public safety, public security, just like any other citizen in the province of Ontario. And that doesn't happen right now because of the way the funding is set up. We're just a program, and it needs to go beyond that. It has to go to a point now where we have to look at, we have to get our own legislation recognizing our authority and our duty as a police officer and the police service. And we're not quite there yet. It's on the table. You know, it's been talked about. The Iprawash inquest that went through a few years back, even that, the recommendations out of there was that there'd be legislation developed for First Nation policing.
And where has that gone?
It's still, as far as I know, it's still being looked at. Chiefs of Ontario are kind of running that show right now, I guess. There's been a couple of meetings since I've been a chief of police regarding the issue, and I think it still needs more political back from our First Nations to push it forward.
Now, you know, a few weeks ago, everyone in the country saw the visual of a First Nations individual handcuffed to the floor in, I don't know what it was. Was it in the locker room somewhere? I know it was Manitoba.
It was Manitoba in one of the northern First Nations where the RCMP police, and there was a hockey rink, I think it was, because the facility that was there was inadequate.
You know of many stories, I'm sure, of situations that have been life-threatening, that are, you know, denigrating to the dignity of anyone, that are taking place in our First Nations throughout the North as it is.
Oh, definitely. I tell you, it's heartbreaking to see it, you know, to see our officers be put in a situation where they're working by themselves and making serious arrests, attending serious calls alone, and then and in the long run, they got no place to take the prisoner or take the person that's in custody. In some cases, in one in our community, we still have they still lock them up in the back of police cars. You know, it's sad. But, you know, we've really come a long way in that area, you know, with the cash inquest, with the fire there, with the two people that died in custody.
Right.
And with all the money that came forward, from the government. Like, they've given us over 20 brand new detachments since, and they've invested over $20 million into First Nations, into brand new modernized police buildings.
This is the good news. Yeah. I'm wondering about, at this point, is we are hearing so much about austerity and even more cuts. Now, already your First Nations detachments are underfunded. They need the very basics, and they're being funded underneath that, and now they're being asked to take more cuts. Is this true?
Yeah, that is true. Just to give you a little picture of what I'm saying here in regards to that is that right now, as we police, like I have an allotment of 150, but out of that 150, I usually have approximately between, on every given month, I guess I would have up to 20 officers off on various types of leave, STD, PTSD, long-term disability, suspensions, and vacancies. So any given time, I got 17% of my frontline policing down all the time. And that really affects my ability to provide policing in the communities where I only have one or two or three-man detachments. Because, like I say, it really affects those communities. Because sometimes these communities go without no police officer for 3 or 4 days at a time, which is very sad, and it shouldn't be like that. And on top of that, 5 years ago or 4 years ago, the federal government in their campaign promised more officers on the front line. They've given $400 million to First Nation, not First Nation, but police service right across Canada. And it's called the Police Officer Recruitment Fund. And out of that, Anishinaabe Asker Police Service was able to get 11 positions. And an announcement was made this past spring from the federal government that there is no intention to continue this program. So become March 31st, 2013, the program ends, and that means the loss of 11 positions for Anishinaabe-Yaski Police Service. And right now, I'm already facing human resources issues already, and to take away 11 more is just going to make it more harder for me to provide a service to my First Nations.
And it adds to the misery of our people. Because
it does.
We need the police services in those communities because they are suffering from such social challenges at the very best of times. And I can only imagine, you know, how that affects your police force. I mean, you know, 17% off at any given time. Now you add 11 officers on top of that. You're dealing with, it's going to be a crisis in your own policing services.
Exactly. You know, when you mentioned crisis, the funny thing about that is that when I first came here as chief of police and started look at my structure and my officers and the situation and what we have with our service delivery, I can almost honestly say that we've been in crisis for over 2 years now trying to provide a service to our communities.
Because you want a good service for your communities.
Yeah, our communities want the same kind of policing service, just like any other citizen in the province of Ontario. You know, our First Nations people are being treated, I don't know why they're being treated differently, but when a First Nation person, let's say, in one of my flying communities of, let's say, Fort Severn, one of our furthest, when they phone a policeman, they should be able to talk to a dispatcher or a policeman and report a call, and the policeman should be coming there within 5-10 minutes, whatever. But sometimes they don't get a police officer for 2 or 3 days because we don't have no officer in the community when they call, and it's sad. And
out of sight.
Yeah, with those 11 positions, you know, we got one that's geared to our canine unit. We got two that's into our drug units. And we have one that's in our recruitment field. We got one that's in our community service. And these are key positions that, you know, what our communities want. They want us to fight the drugs in their communities. They want us to attract more people, recruitment in their communities. And they want more community policing in their communities. So these are key positions I have in place now that I may be losing if this funding doesn't continue or if I find some way to keep it going.
And, you know, Chief Chen, when you think about this, it's going to exasperate other services within those communities and exasperate the misery of our people's lives. We're coming down to the last couple of minutes here today, and I just want to ask you, the Conservative government, the federal government, has made a big, big issue out of they want to build bigger jails. They want to have harsher penalties. I want you to tell me and our listeners this kind of thinking. How is it affecting and how will this legislation affect your A, already exasperated police services, and B, the quality of life of our people?
Well, like I said, for me to concentrate on that area is quite hard because I still have to remain focused on two main things, and that's one of them is officer safety of my officers, and the other one is providing a police service to my communities. Those are my two priorities, and whatever happens on top of that, if I have to eliminate positions or move positions elsewhere or look at other ways of delivering a service or even actually giving up some communities, that's all being looked at right now with my board, with the NAPS board, and also with the NAN executive, because our First Nations are coming to a point now where they're saying, enough's enough, we've had enough, we can't continue, the police service cannot continue like this. It's either to get the resources they need to provide us a service we need, or else that we should be looking at other alternatives, which means bringing back the OPP probably. And that's been spoken about now. We've actually been BCR of one community. Some lobbying going on now, probably in the next 3 or 4 months on this very issue. And it should be interesting. I think it's going to be some challenging times coming ahead. And hopefully in the long run that our funders, the province and the Canada, see the situation and step up to the plate and, you know, give us what we need. If not, we're going to have to be looking at what's the future of First Nation policing in the province of Ontario. That's some of the questions our leadership is asking.
Well, on that very sobering note, I just want to say Chi-Miigwech to you, Chief Claude Chum of the Anishinaabe-Yaski Police Services. Thank you so much for being with us here today on Nation Talk.
All right, thank you very much.
Chi-Miigwech.
This edition of Nation Talk has been brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.